A guy works for the CIA. He calls to his wife and his kids, hey, come on here in the kitchen. I want to show you what we're working on. They walk in and say, see this? This is a lie detector robot. I'll show you. He says to his son, Harry, what'd you do after school today? I did my homework. And the lie detector robot smacks the kid. The kid says, all right. I went to Johnny's house. We watched the movie. Yeah, what kind of movie was it? Star Wars. And the lie detector robot smacks the kid. The kid says, all right. We watched some porno. His father says, porno? When I was your age, I didn't even know what porno was. The lie detector robot smacks the father. And his wife says, he's your son, all right. And the lie detector robot smacks the wife.
Hey, man. Welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast, dude.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast. We have the original guys here today. We have Craig Mitchell.
I'm big, I'm bad, I'm broadcasting.
And we have the Dean of the Clan, College Sharkman, Mike Grieve, on location.
Okay. The shark, man. I'm not as big, I'm not as bad, but I'm on location and I'm kicking ass and taking names, baby.
And I'm John Ferrantino here at the Big Bad Broadcast headquarters.
Shack. You're in the broadcast shack.
Speaking of shack.
the shack, and we have a shack.
And we have That's a shack. That. It's the Love Shack.
Love Baby. Shack. Baby Love Shack.
So, big week, lots of stuff going on, lots of crazy crap going on politically, yeah. Lots of
Tell
stuff
me about
going
it.
On.
I've been in prison for a week, so I don't know anything. So, fill me in, because I just got my $3 and my release forms. So.
Never say fill me in prison. Never.
No, outside. I got to wait till you get out.
How's your mom? Mike's in Florida visiting his mother.
Yes.
Yes. My visiting my mom, which then she decided to take a fall and she busted a couple of ribs and wow. So she was in the hospital. Now she's in rehab. It's been a week. You know,
that must be difficult, man.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you,
the hardest part for you is trying to make it look like an accident. I bet
that's it. That's the hardest part. The hardest part is covering up my steps. Well, it always is, you know. As long as you remember to get rid of your footprints underneath the window and all that kind of stuff, that's, you know, and always remember the cops have luminol underneath. You know, a lot of criminals get caught because they climb in the window and they leave their footprints at the window where they climb in. So they find fingerprints and shoe imprints. See, you got to be smarter. You got to be smarter than the man and erase your shoe prints.
Well, that's why you should get Bruno Mali's shoes. So the thing that OJ did all this shit.
There you go.
That's right. Oh.
Wow,
because they don't fit, reference. You must have quit.
OJ pushed your mom.
OJ pushed my mom. Oh my god.
OJ, I like when OJ, like, there'll be a big criminal case and he weighs in. Like anybody cares what he thinks. Cares what he thinks. You know what I mean?
Let's go to our resident murderer. OJ, what do you think happened there? Well, you know, if that was me, I would have stabbed him from the left and not the right. You know?
My roommate knows OJ, so it's my ex-roommate, I should say. He has been my roommate for years. Yeah, he was on First and Ten with him.
Oh my god.
First and Ten, there's another.
If anybody's listening, you have to look Sasha Baron Cohen. Who's got balls of steel.
He does. Not steel, titanium.
Used to have a show, and he made believe he was a photographer, and he was interviewing OJ. And OJ's sitting there, and his assistant, this really pretty girl, comes walking in, and he goes, Maria, I want you to meet OJ. And she shrugs her shoulders like she has no idea where he goes. He goes, OJ, running through airport, football. And she goes, shrugs her shoulders. He goes, OJ. And he's doing this stuff. And he goes, OJ. And he makes like he has a knife. He goes, and then he acts like he slashes her throat. And she goes, OJ. I mean, it's horrible. And he goes, oh, man, you know, It's like, I hate when people tell me. It was just like,
and OJ's like, thank you, man, thank you.
No, he was just like, man, I just hate
back when all that was happening. One of the hackiest jokes that was going around is like the group, the OJs. Remember the OJs? Yeah. They smile on your face. Oh, the backstabbers, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, all right. I mean, let's try
to get a little more current.
But that's I'm
living in the 90s, dude. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay, so the current news is RFK, who, if you can even listen to this guy talk for five minutes with that Evan voice, with that voice, and I know that he's got
what does he have?
Ailment. He's got some disease. He's got some disease.
Can't make fun of his disease.
You can't make fun of his disease, but God, shut the fuck up.
What fucking disease does he got? He's got the Kennedy disease.
I'm going to look it up.
He's got the Kennedy disease.
Some kind of form of Parkinson's in order to talk
about. He's got the Kennedy disease. There's a hole in his head.
He's like, in the middle of his speech, he's like, the loons, Norman, the loons. That's a 1980s reference. Thank you.
It's the result of an involuntary spasms of the muscles that open and close his vocal cords, causing the voice to be present.
He's a fucking Kennedy. He's got syphilis fucking advanced.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's...
You get that in prison,
get in
right?
The car with him. Now, wait a minute. So let me freshen my memory. So RFK is the son of Robert Kennedy, right?
Robert Kennedy, yes.
Robert Kennedy, who was the attorney general under his brother, JFK.
Yes. And his car don't float, Kennedy.
And the car don't float.
That's Ted Kennedy.
The great
that's
John Truesen.
Oh, yeah. Now, Robert Kennedy got assassinated by
Sirhan.
Yeah.
Which, imagine how stupid would you feel getting killed by a guy?
I always thought that was a rock band.
You couldn't even afford another name for the guy. Fuck, what's his name? Sirhan. How about John Sirhan or Frankie
Sirhan?
Doesn't it
sound like an 80s rock band?
It does. It sounds like Duran.
Sirhan. Didn't they do a James Bond cover?
And I'm hungry like the wolf.
Anyway, so it's pretty bad. He's running as an independent.
A moron.
And the Kennedys said he's only a Kennedy in name. Do not vote for him. I mean, that's a pretty good strong family endorsement.
Yeah.
And now, crazier than crazier.
Oh my God.
He wants Aaron Rodgers on his short list to be a VP because apparently, you know, I love the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is supposed to be the quarterback this year because last year he played four snaps and tore his Achilles.
And we're all aware of Aaron Rodgers' advanced knowledge and in-depth thing.
Well,
no,
they call him. I never realized this. They call him Mini Trump.
Really?
Yeah, they call him Mini Trump. He was anti-vax.
Does he wear a diaper too?
he was anti-vax.
Yep.
He didn't believe some school shooting happened.
He doesn't believe Sandy Hook. He doesn't believe, Sandy Hook was a hoax. That's what he believed.
Did he shine a light up his ass when he had COVID? I'm going to shine a light up my ass and pour some bleach in there. I should be good. Put me on the spin cycle.
I cannot root for the Jets. I can't. I've been a Jet fan since 1971. I cannot root for them if he's playing. I can't. I won't.
I still will.
John, come on.
I got him.
Wait, let me ask.
Why is he?
Now this guy has zero political experience, though. So why?
Well, so
why
does Trump?
Somebody who has. Well, yeah, Trump did too. That's true. And look what a wonderful job he did. Although I am very fond of his gold sneakers. those fucking Target pieces of shit that you could spray gold with. What a piece of shit.
You know,
don't mince words, Mike. What do you really think?
I love those sneakers. That's why white man can't jump. Buy those fucking sneakers.
White man can't trump. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but Aaron Rodgers, I mean, talking about taking advantage of the little gifts you've been given, he can throw a football he can throw a football at a really fast guy running a pattern, and now he qualified to be vice president of the United States under Katharine Hepburn.
Well, the president of the United States is running against Biden. His only experience is a freaking million companies that went bankrupt. And
but he's been president, so at least he has that.
I know. So at that, you know, it's like only in America.
Listen, under this thinking, my mechanic could be the vice president because he can really fucking set your timing really well.
I say let's buy RFK Jr. convertible. That's all I'm going to say. And
there you go.
And meanwhile, you don't have to worry about it. RFK winning anything would be like equivalent of you going down buying one ticket for the lottery and winning. It's not going to happen.
I don't know. Did anyone win the Powerball? Because I did buy some tickets and they're in my wallet and I haven't checked it yet. So I could actually be a multimillionaire right now. And honestly, if I was, I wouldn't be sitting
here. Let me know before I say,
I got to be honest.
I won the Powerball last night. Oh, wait, I was in a gay bar. Never mind.
That was a power crap.
Let me know if you won before I send you the money for the podcast. Once I send you the monthly money, I don't want to put you in a different tax racket.
Yeah, don't want you to elevate me up there. Oh my god.
Oh man. That's something, man. Fuck, you guys don't know did anyone win or you don't know? We didn't
know, but
that's how.
You know,
that's how much.
How much was it?
It was almost. It was. I think it was up to almost $1 billion.
I don't play unless it gets to $2 billion. It's not worth my time.
I love people that say that. I don't.
You're a snob, Craig. You're a snob.
I love that people go, yeah, it's only $6 million. You know, I don't play it. It's six. There was a guy in Jacksonville.
$6 million.
I read a guy in Jacksonville was the winner of a $46 million lottery, and he never picked up his ticket.
How did they know he was the winner then?
Never cashed it in.
How did they know he was? Well, maybe
they don't know it was a guy. I'm sorry. Somebody bought a ticket at a Publix in Jacksonville, and yesterday was the final date to claim, and they didn't.
Yeah, and that's another bullshit thing. It's like that should never run out. If I don't claim my thing in a year, well, why are you going to take that? I won. There should be no limit on when I can go collect my money. You know, maybe I got other millions of dollars, and for tax reasons, I don't want to pick up that lottery money right away.
Have you guys ever seen the movie Mr. Sardonicus?
What the fuck?
No, I never even heard of it.
It's a horror movie. I couldn't even spell it. All right. It's a horror movie. Mr. Sardonicus. Listen, it's the greatest movie ever. I remember seeing this when I was like 14. So it's about a guy, right? It's kind of a family that's struggling, and they live in Ireland, and he buys an Irish sweepstakes ticket, which at the time was like winning the lottery, you know?
I think you're thinking of Waking Ned Divine.
No, it's Mr. Sardonicus. Look it up online.
I am.
So anyway, he buys this ticket, comes home. His wife has a big argument with him about that he took the only money they have left, and he has a heart attack and dies, and they bury him. And then they realize that they buried him with the ticket.
With the ticket. Oh, yeah, you got to dig him up.
So they have to dig him up, and when they dig him up, he's so horrifying that the guy's mouth goes like all the way up like this horrible smile.
He's a joker.
And I mean, no, it's like it's horrible. And the whole movie. Did you look it up?
No. Yeah.
Look it up. I did. There's got to be a picture.
No, there's a
picture. I'm in Florida, or as I like to call it, 1965. I don't have access.
Oh, it's a horror film. Computers. Okay. There's a picture of a woman screaming. I don't know any of the actors. It's an Irish film from 1961.
I just said that. I was 11.
A mysterious and cruel baron, whose face has become frozen in a horrifying grin, demands that a prominent London physician apply experimental treatments on him.
And this is what John said is the greatest movie ever. So
didn't say the greatest movie ever. I said when I was 11 or 12 years old, it scared the crap out of me.
It's not nearly as good as Oppenheimer, which won 7 Oscars this past Sunday.
Oppenheimer.
Which we discussed, which is nobody. Listen,
I am fucking pissed off that Barbie did not win the Oscar, man. Barbie was the film.
I am surprised that it didn't win for like cinematography or something.
Well, no, Poor Things kicks its ass in that.
Listen, you know what, man? How do you vote against Margot Robbie? Is she about the most beautiful woman that walks the face of the earth?
And I'm gay. I think she's the most beautiful woman ever.
Craig is gay, and he fucking even thinks.
I also think that if she wasn't in that movie, a lot of men would have never saw that movie.
And the movie would have been called Ken and Some Chickies With.
By the way, when he did the, what's his name, the guy? Who's the guy?
Ryan Gosling
Jr. Ryan Gosling performed Ken. That was one of the best musical numbers I've ever seen on the Oscars ever. It was fantastic.
And then they didn't win.
Yeah, they didn't win. No, but the other one won. What I was made for was also from Barbie. That hey, one.
We live in Which a one weird, every award? Listen, we live in a weird world. We have a president who's been indicted 91 times, and Godzilla won an Emmy.
Hey, he did. He won an Oscar.
We have a president now that died 5 years ago, and nobody had the heart to tell him.
Oh, God.
Yeah, did you see the press conference with Godzilla afterwards?
No.
He goes, fuck, what do you have to do? Come back from the dead, from under the water, fucking wreck a city to win an award?
Everybody on the production team.
See the Academy Awards, so I don't know any of this.
Everybody on the production team who won for the special effects for Godzilla had a Godzilla doll, and they posed them all with Oscars. Wait, that was hilarious.
Was this Godzilla minus one?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I haven't seen that yet, so I got to check that out.
Aren't they all the same?
No, there's like 10, there's like 20.
I know, but they're all the same.
This year, by the way, is Godzilla's 70th anniversary.
Let me do my Godzilla for you. I don't know. Let me see if I can still do it. I used to do a great Godzilla impersonation.
That's like Free Willy. That's Free Willy, Mike.
Come on, that didn't sound like Godzilla. Remember the old Godzilla from the 1960s? That was a 1960s Godzilla.
Jeez. Okay. I thought it was RFK.
Oh, no.
Or, yeah, it might have been him.
He didn't go there. Yes, he did.
What a jerk. What a fuck. Come on.
RFK. RFK and Henry Fonda in On Golden Pond.
He knows there's about as much fucking chance of him getting elected as like, say, winning the fucking Powerball. It's unbelievable.
He has as much chance of getting elected as Trump being finally fucking prosecuted.
Yeah,
Did you see the State of the Union?
Yeah.
In the State of the Union, they let Santos come in because even if you've been thrown out, you're allowed to be on the floor.
Craig, they needed somebody to clean up afterwards.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They needed somebody to mop.
He should have been on the floor. And how about Marjorie Taylor Cavewoman Green during that?
Yeah, there you go. Marjorie Camel Toe Green.
Camel Toe?
Camel Toe. I don't know.
Camel Toe. Yes, I agree with that. I just wearing camouflage for a second.
So simple a caveman could do it. She's about as smart as my fucking. Oh, God.
She's not smart at all.
No.
She's not smart. And she's also a Sandy Hook denier, too. She'd be perfect for Aaron Rodgers.
I love these people. It's like they're COVID deniers. They deny mass shootings. You know, unless it's like they're so incredibly full of shit. It's just unbelievable. John, what were you telling me just now? You said you had some that you were working on that thing that story, the date story, the scary.
Oh yeah, but we got other stories to talk about first.
Oh, okay.
All right. Okay. So all right. So anyway, so this was a big thing. There was a thing about banning TikTok.
Right.
The House yesterday and passed unanimously. And Trump, who claims he is not a racist, said if they ban TikTok, then ready for this.
Uh oh.
Now let's hear it.
Okay. What's it? Zucker Schmuck will make more money on Facebook.
Right.
So I looked up the word schmuck, right? Because I knew.
He called him Zucker Schmuck?
Zucker Schmuck.
It doesn't mean Zucker Dick.
Schmuck is like the tip of your dick.
Foreskin. Yeah. It's Jewish. If you're Yiddish, it's foreskin.
It's the foreskin they cut off over there.
Yeah.
Schmuck.
They make a wallet out of it after when you hit 13.
So he's calling the guy who's Jewish foreskin.
And then he's not a racist.
Well, I'm not because, you know, my daughter.
I don't think he. I honestly, I'm not defending Trump, but I honestly don't think he knows.
No, he goes, listen, I'm not anti-Semitic. My daughter's married to a Jew bastard.
Oh, my God.
How can I be?
Mike is Jewish. He can say that.
And the other thing.
I can say that because.
And the other thing is, he on social media the other day said, you know how I give everybody nicknames? He goes, my new nickname is Honest Don. That's not a joke. That's really what he said.
I can't understand. I still can't understand. I must be in a coma somewhere. How can people not see through his colossal fucking bullshit? How can we be the only ones? How can only half the country see it? I don't get it.
I don't get it either. Nobody gets it. I mean, it's
Honest fucking Don. Are you fucking kidding me?
I guess it's as George Carlin says, you look at the dumbest motherfuckers on the planet and just remember, there's people dumber than them.
I just don't get it.
So a couple of news stories. There's a guy that loves bacon, but he doesn't like it crispy. So he cooks it till it's like soft, and now he's got tapeworms in his brain.
Maybe he needs some Viagra.
They thought that he had migraines, but when they did an MRI and a CAT scan, he found out that he had tapeworm eggs in his brain.
You know what? You know what? If you're not cooking your bacon, because everyone knows you're fucking pork. Since I'm a little kid, they always tell you you cook pork well. If you're eating bacon,
Ever since you were a little kid, they told you you probably had tapeworms in your brain beforehand. Let's back up the fact that you're Jewish.
Yeah. Hey. What are you saying? You saying Jews can't enjoy a nice pork sandwich or some bacon? Come on,
isn't
man.
Isn't that true, though? Jewish people don't really eat pork?
Only if they're kosher.
No. Oh, okay.
The rabbi has to spit on it. The rabbi has to spit on it first. No, that's Craig. He's 11%. He knows.
I'm 11%. The rabbi spits on me all the time.
He spits at you, that's for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what they do for tapeworms in your brain.
Well, wait, I thought tapeworms were supposed to be in your digestive tract. How did they get to his friggin' brain?
I don't know. They laid eggs in his brain.
A tapeworm in your brain? Oh, it's eggs in the brain.
He's got eggs.
I don't know. What do they do? How do they get them out? I don't know. I guess they drill in your ear. I don't know.
Is it tapeworms or trichinosis?
Tapeworms. They dangle bacon in front of your nose and the eggs come out.
There you go, and then it pokes its head out.
Can you imagine this? If he sneezes, he'd be like one of those clowns pulling thing out of his nose. Whoa!
There you go. Be like John with the napkins. What's that? A napkin trick there, John?
The only thing is, as he pulls it, he gets stupider and stupider.
I mean, it's like.
Now wait a minute. So they said, "Does that's kind of a scary thing." So does that mean bacon all has that basically before you cook it? I don't know.
Yeah, they say
it shouldn't. It's all smoked and cured. It shouldn't be.
They say that the tapeworms live in the bacon.
What?
I think this guy might have had a tapeworm in his brain before.
Did he cut his own?
I don't know. Crazy news headlines. It's right here.
Where was this from? Was it like from Bangladesh?
No, I saw it on CNN originally.
Probably Kentucky. It's probably from Kentucky. He probably just bit into a pig.
All right, here we go.
He just took a bite out of a live pig.
You want to hear? Man's brain, tapeworms, and worsening migraines caused to be uncooked bacon. Scan showed tapeworm eggs festering in the patient's brain. The U.S. researchers warning this case may have had wider health tapeworm eggs found in the brain who suffer from severe migraines. The 52-year-old American consulted doctors after his unusual migraines were more frequent and severe, were not responding to any medications.
That is a stupid mother.
The man was diagnosed with neuro, I can't even pronounce it, caused
a
by
brainius in my head.
Tenonesis, a form of infection from larval cysts.
That's a stupid,
a pork tapeworm, which can get into the tissues such as muscles and the brain.
And despite all that, he's still going to quarterback for the Jets next year.
On further there questioning, the patient denied eating raw or street food, but admitted to a habit of eating lightly cooked bacon, non-crispy, for most of his life, said the study.
How did you get them out of the brain?
Researchers said they believe the infection was transmitted through an autoinfection after improper hand washing after he had contacted this disease.
Oh, he must have touched his face. He must have got it on his hands and touched his face.
Oh, yeah, then went through the eye.
He got sniffless.
No, that's what Eskimos get when from protected
sniffles.
Unprotected nose.
Isn't that a Sesame Street character, Snuffleupagus?
No, that's Snuffleupagus or whatever the hell. Well, now why do we know that? We're fucking men. We're manly, macho men, and whatever. And some of us.
Snuffleupagus is a funny word. That's why we know it.
That's right.
And he's invisible.
Yeah. No, he was, well,
you know, my friend, Rob Braden, a friend of mine, I think we all know Rob, you know, he's done some work. He actually has done some directing for Sesame Street and stuff like that. And he
says, he knows Snuffleupagus?
He says one of the most surreal things is he's at the Sesame Street studio. You look up in the air and there's the because Snuffleupagus is huge. And he's just like hanging from the rafters. That's gotta be, you know, like a Macy's Parade thing.
I don't want to get sued, but I'm going to say this anyway. It's the truth. When I was a kid, you know, I used to get my weed from Bert and Ernie.
No.
Yeah, I used to go to, you know what? It was commercial. It was commercial weed. It had seeds and stems in it. But, you know, Bert and Ernie were dealing it right down there on the street.
Unbelievable.
John's like not saying, I'm not getting involved in that one.
So no. Reminds me of another story.
Bert and Ernie were in the...
I don't know what town this is.
Uh-oh.
But the police put all of the marijuana in a storage area as evidence, and the rats ate it. Ooh. And now they have stoned rats like walking around.
The good rats? If it's the good rats, I can see it.
You got rats ordering Ubers over to Papa John's to get some pizza. Hey, man, take me over to Papa John's, man. You're messing with my buzz.
Yeah, there it
that's
goes.
Pretty wild. It's like normally you get experimented on rats in a lab. They were experimenting themselves.
So for weeks, officers found rat droppings on their desk in New Orleans headquarters, which has been taken over by mold cockroaches, according to the department. It sounds like a clean place to work. Rats that managed to get into the evidence room are decaying police headquarters and building have been eating confiscated marijuana, the New Orleans police chief said. The aging offices and police department in New Orleans is dilapidated with venom-infested stoned animals running around in the locker room and everywhere.
Come on, man. You know this is bullshit. You know
rat droppings have been found on officers' desks. Global director of Orkin Pest Control said he hasn't heard of rats eating marijuana before, but there's always a first.
And there's been numerous pizzas ordered from the police.
You got rats going up to the cops going, hey, man, you got any rolling papers? Hey, I need some rolling papers, man.
Edibles, man. Edibles. They really hit you hard.
Yeah.
They brought in an expert who says the rats are experiencing the same high as us.
Lucky rats, man.
So they must be lazy-ass rats.
You know what they always said, right? Who's got the best shit? Cops.
They got you. I can see all those rats just hanging out, watching Ratatouille, going, man, that food looks really good, dude.
$7.6 million to close the facility because it's infested with stoned rats.
Stoned rats,
man. You're right. That sounds like a rock band.
Yeah, Stone Rats is a great fucking name. The Good Rats was good, but that's even better.
Or the Boontown Rats, the Stonetown Rats.
The Stonetown Rats.
That is funny shit.
Dude, you got it.
That is funny shit.
That is. Nothing.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say you expect rats, but like I see like lizards or something. Like, remember Up in Smoke, or which one was it? Nice Dreams or whatever. When the lizards, they turn into a lizard from smoking that weird weed. Our friend Tommy Chong's old movies, Nice Dreams.
I haven't seen Nice Dreams.
Don't you tell remember that? They're smoking this funky weed and they turn into lizards.
Nice. So lizard. We talk about watching TV and stuff. So I started, which I cannot believe how many seasons there were. I started from the pilot of watching The X-Files.
Yeah.
And
it's like 9 or 10 seasons.
It's 12 seasons.
It's 12, okay.
And each season had 24 episodes.
Yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way TV used to be.
And meanwhile,
I binge watch.
It's amazing. I mean, Scully, what's her name in real life?
Oh.
She's beautiful in the early ones. And David Duchovny looks like a kid. You know, he looks like a kid.
It's like, 1992?
Yeah, he looks like a young kid. And then when you see the older one, it's like, you know, it's unbelievably different, you know? And the stories on the original ones were really good. It was more like Twilight Zone-y, you know?
See, this will tell you what's it. I've never watched The X-Files. What is it about, John?
The X-Files are about...
I have never watched
it. So David Duchovny basically...
Duchovny.
The actor who ran for president.
Duchovny. He when he was a kid, his sister was abducted, and during deep hypnosis, he was told that, you know, it came out that he thinks it was a UFO. So they all call him, his name is Mulder. They all call him Creepy Mulder. So there's a file, he's an FBI agent. And there's a files of stuff that's unexplainable called the X-Files.
The X-Files.
Gotcha.
And he decides that he's going to see if he can solve some of these. And then Scully is his assistant, who's also a doctor. And she originally was put there to kind of debunk him. But she sees how he is really good at his job. And she kind of gets... sucked into all things. It's really good.
The way to explain it is kind of think of a procedural like the FBI meets the Twilight Zone. That's what the show is.
It's good.
Now, see, I would check it out. The problem is, like you said, there's 12 seasons and all that stuff. I'll binge watch, but I'm not going to get into something that long.
12 seasons. Each season is 22 episodes.
Yeah, don't look at the episode count for Law and Order. It's over 500 at this point.
I know, it's insane.
No.
Yeah, there's over 500 Law and Order.
I'll do an episode. Law and Order. That's a good
one. You know what's scary about Law and Order? I used to talk about it in my act all the time, but whenever they interview somebody, let's say they go to the docks because somebody on the docks has been murdered. They'll go and they'll talk to somebody who's like stacking bags or something. And you have two homicide fucking detectives talking about somebody who's murdered, and the people don't stop working. They keep working. Well, you know, I knew Jack when he was doing it. It's like, dude, it's a homicide. I would stop and shit my pants. Why would I stop?
Well, it's the same thing whenever you watch TV shows where the cop goes, I have to ask you a couple questions. Shut up, I'm not answering you. You know what I mean? It's like... a cop knocks on my door and says, I gotta ask you some questions. I'm like, yes, sir. What do you need?
Those videos you get people who argue with the cops now and they get pulled over. I'm filming you.
I want to know. That's what I want to know. What makes people think today that you don't have to fucking obey an order from a cop? The cop says, get out of the car, do this, do that. And you see these people arguing with them, and then they can't figure out why the cop's going to bust their window and drag them out. It's like, oh, yeah, right. Shut the fuck. It's a fucking cop. You got to follow his fucking directions, you piece of shit. I love to see them get the shit beat out of them. I love that. If it was me, I'd shoot one of them, but, you know, can't do that.
I saw a video yesterday on TikTok. Where this it was a road rage. It was taken from a guy's dash cam who was behind all this. Apparently, this car ahead of him had done something to the car ahead of him. The people ran out of the car and they're pounding on the passengers on the driver's side window, and you just hear pop, 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 pop. And he shot the guy three times. They all live. There you go. By the way, but I was like, holy shit, people are just losing their.
That's just listen. That's the way some people say, "Have a nice day." Pop, 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 pop. Have a nice day. Hey, snack, crackle, pop. Have a nice day.
Pop, 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 pop.
Oh man. You got any more stories of fable of cool, weird shit?
What do you think about? I was gonna say, what do you think about the TikTok ban? Or the
honestly,
proposed
it's confusing.
TikTok ban.
I don't know.
I told you the other day, I was watching Ted Cruz on TV, and he was talking about it, and he almost made sense. And when Ted Cruz starts making sense, I get nervous.
Well, what did he say?
But it was like it is. He was talking about them pushing political agendas, pushing all kinds of stuff like that, things. And he showed statistics about certain things that if you compared, Facebook, I think it was Facebook he was using, and TikTok, how certain stories, like stories about things that were bad for China, would never be on TikTok. You'd never see them, but they'd be like, you know, hundreds of thousands of those stories.
All the platforms, Instagram, they all have agendas, and we all get stories. It's not just TikTok.
No, so I don't know. We'll see what happens. So you said the House banned it. Now it's going to the Senate.
The House voted
happening.
Like three.
Honestly, whatever.
I heard that Biden.
I think they should have an American company buy it.
I heard that Biden will never pass it just because.
No, Biden said he'd sign it.
Now I just read it today, an hour before we went on.
Oh, then he must have got some backlash then.
Saying that, you know, he needs the younger vote.
Yeah, they'll be pissed. I would be pissed, but to me, TikTok is a great way to pass time. That's about it.
You know what? You know what you do if you want Biden to pass something? You give him some brand, you know, put him in the bathroom with the bill, let him read it. Fucking boom, he takes your shit.
Yeah.
He signs it because he feels good.
Yeah, just don't give him any raw bacon.
Whatever.
I'd like to give Ted Cruz some raw bacon.
Who would eat raw bacon?
Raw. It's not raw. I don't like my bacon totally crispy.
It just wasn't. Yes, you do. Everyone likes it totally crispy.
But you don't want it flaccid, do you?
Oh, Craig, stop setting yourself up. You know, like it flaccid.
Well, that would be flat. That would be like flaccid bacon. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You got a little party streamer. Yeah. You don't need that shit.
Do you guys ever look back on something you did when you were a kid and like right now it seems so stupid that you used to do it?
No, John, like not me. I have never been in that position in my life.
Come on, you must have. You must. I'll tell you mine. Mine's a little bit of a long story. You guys tell me yours first.
Go ahead.
Mine is a million different things, man. You know, like things I used to do just because it was like, I remember one time I wanted to see what it was like to jump out of a car. So I told my friend, get the car up to about 40 and I'm going to jump out. And I did. I jumped out of the car just to see what the hell it was like. You know, things like that. Or climbing. I fell out of a third story.
I can't even top that.
Come on, you never tried that.
No. What happened to you?
I was wearing a leather jacket and everything. Actually, I got a little scraped up on
the... Did you have one on your face?
But, you know... I
just got a question for you, Mike. How high were you?
I was very high.
All right.
Where did this happen? Like, where did they throw you out on
the Belt Parkway?
No. Nobody threw me out. Nobody throws me out. I chose to jump out. It was on the street.
Did you have a parachute?
How fast were you going?
No. What are you talking about? I opened maybe 35, 40. I opened the back door and jumped out. I told them I was going to do it. Yeah,
I can't even tell my story after that.
This is the kind of stuff I used to do. You know what? Hey, listen, we used to climb down these, like Roosevelt Island at the time when I was a kid. There were no buildings. There was nobody living on it. There was Goldwater Memorial Hospital. It was all dilapidated. It was, you know, whatever. And there was this hatch that you could pick up and climb down to the subway. But it wasn't at a station or nothing. We used to climb down there and we'd be right basically almost on the track, just in a little space between, and we'd stand there up against the wall, and the train used to go by like inches from you while he was standing. I mean, we did a lot of
stuff. Oh, my God, man.
You know?
Mine seems positively tame compared to that.
Then there was, we used to have the projects, the building that I lived in was one floor short of the building. The building. We used to climb up on the roof and climb up over on and climb 2, 3, 4. Am I coming back? Am I still here?
You're back.
Breaking up. I'm back. So I was saying, the building I grew up on was in the projects had 6 stories, and the one next to it had like 7, or it was a little taller. So we used to climb on the roof, then we'd climb up the wall to the 7th. I mean, you know, you're dangling friggin', you know, 6, 7 stories down, and we climb over the fence onto the other roof. I mean, we did all kinds of crazy shit.
Do you share DNA with Tom Cruise?
You know, so John.
Well, I want to hear what Craig. I want to hear Craig's.
No, first.
It's not nearly as dangerous as that, but there's two of them. It involves a car. When I was like 16 or 17, when I just had my driver's license, when it snowed, I lived in East Meadow, and we used to drive to a section of town that used to have a lot of kids, but at night, like 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I would drive up on the lawns, and I would fishtail and destroy people's snowmen, okay? And then, that was so much fun, we decided to hit their garbage cans.
Wow.
Right.
Craig.
What was that?
You really did have an exciting life.
I know. I used to maul into people's garbage cans and stuff. And I remember one night we were going to do it again. We had to be careful. And we see a garbage can. I'm doing like 40 right towards it. And I just stopped short. And my friend's like, "Why'd you stop?" Because there were two of us. And they had put the garbage can over a fire hydrant. So they wanted to see me if I could hit the fire hydrant. But I was not smart. Wow. But the other thing I was going to say with the car is I used to drink a lot. A lot. And I used to, the bar I used to drink at was right near an exit to the entrance to the Wanto Parkway, which I would take straight up about 10 minutes to my house. And I would be really drunk and I would get in the car and I would floor it. I would hit 110, 115 miles an hour at 3 or 4 o'clock
in the morning on the Wanto
Parkway. Just because I could. And then that was so fucking stupid.
What kind of car was it?
An Acura. An Acura Integra. Very fat. It was a great car. Thank God I didn't.
10 miles an hour?
My story is cute compared to these.
I'm just thinking, you know what? Listen, let me just ask you this question. How many people got murdered in front of your house? Because three or four, I can't remember, but in front of my building, 3 or 4 people were murdered. So
yeah, but you right were acquitted. There, so you were acquitted.
No. I'm not even kidding about that. That's an absolutely true story. It was one of their own friends. The older guys, they were like 5 years older than, no, they were more than five. They were like 10 years older than us, the group that I hung out with. And one evening they were hanging out in front of the building and one of their friends pulled up and just shot them all. And 3 of them died.
That happened to me when I was living in Van Nuys 10 years ago. Three people, there was a house right next to the apartment building. Somebody knocked on the door. It was a drug house. Killed 3 mm-hmm. people. I even heard the gunshots. But, you know.
But did they take the drugs?
I don't know. But I kept them. No, I'm just kidding.
My story.
All right, now we got to hear John's story.
Let's hear John's little story.
Mine is just a cute little story about two stupid kids. All right, so
I'll take a nap. Let me take a nap while John tells it.
Okay. I think it's kind of funny. When I was 17 years old and I got my first car, dating was like the only thing on my mind. But after spending my last $2 on 6 gallons of gas.
Dating was the only, not dating.
Yeah.
Did you hear he said spending his last $2 on 6 gallons of gas?
Yes.
But we had no more money, so we came up with a thing called the ghost date. And the ghost date was a well-series planned route where we would take these girls and hope to scare them into our arms and into our hearts without spending any money. And the ghost date worked better as a double date because my buddy in the back seat, as I would tell some ridiculous story that I had never even told before, he could hang over the seat and fill in details that I had apparently forgotten in a story that I never even told. So the first the first stop on the date was Sweet Hollow Road, which is kind of an abandoned old road, overgrown.
It sounds like it would be.
We would drive along, and I would tell a story about this couple, a man and a woman, that were driving on that road, and their car broke down, and the husband said to the wife, "You wait here, I'm going to get help." So he didn't come back in about an hour, and she starts hearing tapping on the roof, tapping on the roof. And she opens the door in the morning, and she looks up, and her husband's head is hanging in the tree.
Ew.
And blood is dripping on. And as I go, and the blood was dripping on the roof.
My friend
would stop
tapping. I was sopping it up with some bread.
There you go.
My friend would stop tapping on the side of the car. So we drive a little bit longer. We'd wait for one of our dates to go, "God, I'd hate to break down on this road." And with a sneaky flick of the key, my headlights would go off and we would roll to a stop. and then the next story would start. And we'd tell a story about a couple that was parking on this road, like Lover's Lane, when they heard on the radio that there was an escaped maniac with one arm who slashed the doctor's throat with his hook. And he was loose in the area. They heard something outside the fogged windows of their car, so they decided to leave. And when the boy got to the girl's house, he would walk around to let her out, and hanging from the door handle was a bloody hook.
Oh.
And with that, all of a sudden, my car miraculously started and the lights came back on. And I went, "Wow, I can't believe how lucky we are that the car restarted." And my friend would hang over the seat with a straight face and go, "Lucky? It's a freaking miracle." So we would drive to the next spot, which was called Mary's Grave. And Mary's Grave was perfect. It was an optical illusion. It was a circular driveway, and off in the distance was a gravestone where you only saw the side, and a cross was carved out in the top. And as your car would go around, if you had the perfect angle, your headlights would strike the gravestone, and for a split second, it would light up. It would actually look like a ghost. And we would tell the story before we got there about this nun that was murdered, and every night she'd be searching the graveyard for her killer. And as we went around the bend, all of a sudden, for a split second, and we did it so many times, we knew exactly where to go.
Right.
For a split second, the headlights would go on. My friend from the back seat would go, "There she is." And we'd look, and there it was. And then I would go, "God," with a straight face, "You don't know how lucky you are to see that, because you don't always." And we try not to laugh. And usually that would be the end of the ghost date, but not this one.
Did this get you laid?
But listen, not this way. This
is very funny. A hooker.
So we had a ghost hunting kit, which we made up on the back seat just for effect. It had a ghost meter that we bought off the back of a comic book, a wooden cross, a light bulb, a transistor radio, and a thermometer that I stole off my dad's greenhouse.
Right.
So we had the thermometer because we were told that when you see a ghost, the temperature drops. We had a transistor radio to dial in. So at the end of this thing, which is normally where we'd go parking afterwards, my date looks at me and says, "That wasn't so scary. You want to see something really scary? My dad's a detective, and they just took the police. They just took the police tape off the Amity Horror House. Can we please go? Please go?" And I look into this sweet little girl's face, and I hear the words come out of my mouth, "Of course." And from the back seat, my friend goes, "Are you fucking crazy?" So he goes, We're not going there. And I go, "Yeah, okay." So we pull up to Amityville, and there's a sign that says, "Welcome to Amityville." And someone in graffiti wrote, "If you dare." So we pull up to the house, and the girl goes, "Take the ghost hunting kit." And I go, "You realize everything in there is bullshit."
You know what? You sound like Bill Murray. You're like Bill Murray in Ghostbusters. Remember when he went to the house and he's like squeezing some bald thing, you know?
I go, "Everything in it's bullshit." I go, "We just made that stuff up." And she goes, "Bring it anyway." So we're walking across we're walking across the front lawn, right? This is true.
Right.
We're walking across the front lawn and she steps on something. And I go, "What's that?" And she, I'm going to leave. She pulls out an alarm clock. And she goes, "This is really cool. This was probably in one of the kids' rooms when they got murdered." I go, "Put
That's
it back."
Nice.
I go, "Put it back." She goes, "No, I'm keeping it." So we're walking along a little bit long, and all of a sudden, the thing starts ringing.
Right? No, that's...
And we go, "Let's get the fuck out. Let's get to the car." And my friend goes, "Don't worry about it." With that, the ghost meter starts going off. The light bulb starts flashing. And I go...
The bullshit meter.
I go to the car. Right? And... She takes this transistor radio and she starts tuning it in. And she's tuning in. I go, "What are you doing? Get in the car." And she goes, "We might hear something. We might hear Ron Defoe." That's the guy who killed everybody.
Ron Defoe. Right. He wasn't on our show a long time ago.
So anyway.
Different guy.
So anyway, we run to the car. We're scared out of our minds. And we get in the car. And she goes, "Now that was really scary." And that was the last time we ever did the ghost date. Oh, my friend goes, "Don't worry about it. I got a cross." And he holds up this little wooden cross. And I go, "What are you in the Exorcist? Get in the car."
So your date out terrified.
Yeah, maybe
you.
they were trying to scare her own kid. Maybe they were trying to scare
maybe she was trying to scare us. The girls that you dated the week before.
Yeah,
she talked to the girls you dated the week before.
I am sure she
did. Heard the story.
I am sure she did. Or maybe she tried to scare us into her arms.
There you go. Oh, maybe. Man. Which is, hey, I would take that. I would take that. I'm scared. Touch my pee-pee.
Do you guys remember any nightmares you had?
How are we doing on time, Craig?
Yeah, about 10 minutes. Do you guys remember any kind of nightmare you had when you were a kid that scared the fuck out of you then, but now it's like totally a joke?
I had reoccurring nightmares. I think I've talked about it once before on the show. I can't remember, but I always had a nightmare that I lived on the sixth floor in the projects, and I had this reoccurring nightmare. I was looking out the back window, and I could see Godzilla, or talk about Godzilla before, off in the distance. And he was always looking right at me and coming right towards me. He was always like miles away, but he was always coming for me, right for me, you know, but he never got there. And then I had this other really weird reoccurring dream that I was in this huge warehouse, unbelievably as big as you can imagine. And it was filled floor to ceiling with nothing but tires. Don't ask me why. But tires.
You have said that one. I remember that. I remember you saying that.
Yeah.
Mine is absolutely. Oh, you still like you're breaking. I couldn't tell if you were still talking because
there's a lag.
My dream I had when I was about 5 years old. And here's the thing. It's totally a joke. But to this day, I can't go to sleep unless I cover my left ear with a blanket. Because of this. It was a dream where I was laying in bed. I was sleeping and Donald Duck showed up. Just his head. And he smiled,
and
he was missing a tooth. And all of a sudden, you heard this chorus going, "Right in the glue, right in the glue, right in the glue." And to this day, I can't go to sleep unless I cover.
I'm losing something here.
Right in the glue.
What was it about? Did it make any sense?
It was just him smiling, and he missed a tooth. He was missing a tooth, and a chorus of like.
I didn't know ducks had teeth in their.
They
bills.
Don't. That's they don't.
Only in Craig's dreams.
I had a really, really horrible reoccurring nightmare that I was in a car and I wanted to jump out at 40 miles an hour.
and then I drove by at 110.
I had a dream the other night. Like, as an entertainer, you guys could get this. I had this dream that I had to do this show, and I had a production manager was from the cruise ship, but the show was outside, and there was thousands of people there, and my family were all there. And as soon as I walked, saw the situation, I knew it was going to suck. So I had to make sure I couldn't see my family. So I walked down, and I go to the guy. I go, "All right, where's the prediction envelope?" And he goes, "The red envelope." He goes, "You needed that?" And I go, yeah, it's the end of the show. And he goes, oh, we threw it away. And I go, you threw it away? I go, you set up this act 100 times. He goes, well, you can do your bottle trick. So the multiplying bottles where I start out with 2 bottles and I produce 9. And all of a sudden I look and there's 9 bottles on the table. And I go, well, I can't do the trick now. It's done. And they go, well, we just put them back in the tubes and do it again, right? Every single thing that I had to do, you know, I was panicking. Nothing worked. I go, well, I'll do the sword trick. And the guy goes, oh, we didn't pack the sword. You know, and it was just like, oh, it was horrible. So I had to go out.
That, you know what? That's like the dream that people have when they're like suddenly in front of the whole class in their underwear or something.
Yeah, or not. You didn't study for a test.
I used to be married to a choreographer, a dancer, and she used to have a dream all the time that she couldn't find her shoes or she couldn't get into her costume when the next number was starting. And my daughter has dreams that she can't remember. She can't find the first act of the show that she's doing or something.
To this day, I still have a nightmare
that she's married to me.
I still have nightmares that I'm driving to a gig and I can't find it.
Right. So wait. Mm-hmm. So the end of this, I walk out and somebody yells out, "So you do magic? Tell us about Michael Carbonaro." So I figure on the spot, pretty funny joke. I go, I just want to say that I am friends with Michael Carbonaro, and all the magic he does is completely real, because he's a magician and he would never lie. And not one person laughed. Not one person.
Just like Craig's act.
That was horrible.
Oh yeah, my act. Thanks, Mike.
It was horrible. I mean, I woke up and I was still like visibly like upset from it. I mean, it was so real. It was crazy.
You want to hear something weird? And this is true. I'm sitting in the hospital with my mother the other day, and she, you know, she fell asleep. She's like I said, because she's got the fractured rib. Anyway, she falls asleep, and out of the blue, she starts talking in her sleep, but stuff that, you know, like a 92-year-old lady has no business saying. She like congratulated people. Imagine people. She goes, oh, thanks. No. It was a team effort. And I'm like, where the hell? She just comes out with this, like these things. Like, I don't know what the hell she was dreaming about. But she was like, you know, like as if people were congratulating her on some giant, you know, great thing she did. And she was telling them, no, it was a team effort.
Maybe she won the Academy Award for Godzilla.
Maybe, you know, she might have. She does breathe fire, I'll tell you that.
That's so crazy.
Oh, man. So we must be pretty close to our...
We are. It's about that time. Yep.
It's about that time. We made it.
I am performing this weekend.
Where?
I am performing at the Funky Dog.
I'm coming to the show.
And
the Funky Dog?
And I'm working in Stewart, and I am going to tell that last. I am going to end the show with that last story, with props that smoke and go off and whatever. And I have a bet with my daughter, who told me it will never work in front of the comedy show.
Yeah,
I'm going to see John's show. Should I heckle him?
No, but I think when you arrive, you should jump out of the car.
There you go.
You should slide across a parking lot to the front door. That would be cool.
I used to work with this woman, this girl on the cruise ship. It was a youth coordinator. And she goes, my mother was so mean. When she would drive me to school, she would say to me, I'm not stopping. Just roll out.
Yeah. So, hey, guys, I've had a fun time.
You got to get going. Show,
but I got to get going. I'm going to head go see Mom.
All right.
Well, let's have a round of applause for... Craig Mitchell.
Do you think anybody's really clapping? Craig. I don't think anybody's clapping. No. They're driving.
And whatever his name is.
Mike Grief, his name is.
I don't care if they're not Grief. Clapping. I'm John Fertino. Happy for not touching themselves.
And let's thank Jackie the Joke Man for doing our joke up front.
Remember, can see Jackie's has a documentary called The Joke Man, and it's at the jokemanmovie.com.
Yes.
You're
bad. All right, so we'll see you on all next week.
Peace.
Yes. Stay safe.
A week from today.
Stay safe. I got to pay some bills right now.
Peace.
All right.
All right. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
All right. Bye.